Right, I want to say a few things before we commence. I don't quite know how this is going to pan out. It's prepared, but I'm not quite sure how it's going to pan out. And I don't want to drone on for too long. And I want this to be interactive, participatory, call it what you will. So it's one thing to sort of time yourself while you're doing a talk, but you can't time how people are going to respond. Graham, would you do me a favour? Would you just hand them around the group? Okay. And as much as possible, ensure that people get a different, don't end up with three green ones or something. And just keep going round until you've gotten rid of them. If you've got a card, because what I'm going to invite you to do throughout the talk is to read what you've got on the card. If you've got a card and you don't want to read, that is absolutely fine. There should be no Old Testament names that will be unfamiliar to you. So not any names that you would stumble over. But if you don't want to read them, then say so. And even if there is a word that looks a bit weird to your understanding, just say it as it is. There's no right or wrong way. We're amongst friends. I have prepared this to go over a dozen or so slides, but if this is taking longer, I'll just draw a halt to it. If I don't stop by 2022, just tell me. No, we have to be out by then. Yeah, 12, because I don't want you to sit too long. You won't hold it all in your heads. I want God to speak to you. I want God to speak to all of us, including me. Let's pray. Father God, as we look afresh at your word, the word that you breathe into and give life to, let that life-giving word sink into our hearts and into our minds. Speak to us individually and corporately so that we go from this place today refreshed, renewed, invigorated to carry out your purposes, your plans. As we, you know, this morning, Father, there will be hundreds of people milling about in this village. Give us an opportunity to share something with some of them today, tomorrow, the day after. Let's bring your light into their darkness. Amen. Amen. I don't need the bits of card back at the end of the morning. You can take them away with you and recycle them, or use them as a bookmark, or maybe just meditate on them. Maybe God will say something fresh to you through those words. Right. So Debbie's heard a little bit of this because we were talking in the week about what God was saying to us. So she's caught a flavour of some of this. But some of you will recognise this. You two must. So just down the coast from you. It's Cart Gap. And William and I love to go to the coast. William in particular loves to go to the coast. We were down on the beach yesterday. But Easter Monday, we went to Cart Gap. And as we were walking down the ramp to the beach, I said to God, just reveal something of you to me in what we see, what we come across. Speak to me, Lord. So we wandered the beach. And we came across this, it's been there some while, this beach sculptor of a man fishing, I think. And immediately I thought, oh, fishers are men. Is that what you're saying? But I didn't feel that was what God was saying. That was sort of what I was reading into it. William is having a great time, especially down at the water's edge. It's groin after groin when the tide's out. And he was just loving clambering over the groins. And as he was doing so, I was thinking, you know, it would be so much easier to walk around. And I thought, is God saying, you know, don't deviate from the path that I've set you. Rise above the obstacles that may come in your way, because I'm with you. But again, I didn't quite feel that was God. And then we came across this one groin, which it stood above our heads, and the seaward facing edge of the groin was encrusted from top to bottom with barnacles. And I looked at them, there were some that are still living, still got the barnacle within them, but some that are long since vacated. But they were still there, firmly fixed, carrying out the purpose that God has designed them for, standing firm, a witness to whoever passes by. And it was that standing firm that I really began to feel God was speaking to me about. And you find the phrase littered through the Old and New Testament, the importance of standing firm. But I was really drawn to this bit in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. In there is that phrase, stand firm in your faith. And I began to just mull on that phrase. And then my iPad pinged. I got an email from Jonathan and Paige Squirrel, one of their regular round robin emails. It wasn't to me in particular, but the theme of their email was unchanging faith. And I just thought, there was a confirmation from God. We were on the right track. I was on the right track. I was at last hearing what he wanted me to hear. I was listening to the right thing, not trying to create things with my own mind. So if we look in the NIV, verse 13 and 14, they sort of go together. It says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. And the Amplified Version says, Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith in God, respecting his precepts, his laws, and keeping your doctrine sound. Act like mature men and be courageous, be strong, and let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. So that's what we're going to look at today, those verses. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. Be on your guard. In the Greek for guard is Grigori. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? Be on your guard. You know, you can imagine, especially in that time, that they've got the very visible presence of an occupying army, the Roman army. You can imagine an army commander, a centurion, perhaps, saying to his soldiers, be on your guard, be strong, be courageous, etc. But what does be on your guard mean for you? Sorry? Watch out. Anything else?
Be aware.
Be aware. Be vigilant. Yeah. Be prepared. Can't be on your guard if you're not awake. Be watchful. Be alert. Be on constant lookout. I think you see the things you have to avoid. You can't do that if you're that, you know. We were chatting before the service, and Graham had said to me, you know, you have a routine at home, talking about life at home with William. And we certainly do have a routine. You know, every morning, and this morning was nothing different. You get up, there's all the washing and dressing stuff. And then I have to prepare his medication. A little glass vial containing liquid, which you have to break it between your thumb and finger, snap the top off before mixing it with the antibiotics, which he has twice a day. So this is a routine I am familiar with no end. I do it twice a day, every day, for the last several years, umpteen years. Be alert, be watchful, don't be a sleepyhead. I was a bit of a sleepyhead this morning. I was not alert. As I broke that vial, the glass shattered and cut into my finger, because I was not alert. I wasn't paying attention to what, you know, I was thinking about a multitude of other things. We have to be alert. As Christians, we have to be alert if all we do. You know, the enemy is prowling round. Let's have a look at some other scripture. So someone has got a blue bit of card. So Matthew 26, verse 41. What does it say, Lucy?
Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
My flesh was weak this morning. But watch, be alert, and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. We have to be on our guard. There are so many temptations out there, so many distractions. And our flesh will go for the easy option. We have to be vigilant. We have to be on guard. Who's got Colossians 4? Be faithful to pray as intercessors. You know, God, in the Old Testament, God cried out. Cried out for somebody to stand in the gap and couldn't find anyone. In being alert, we need to be watchful around our villages. One of the ways you can find out what's going on in your village, what the demands and the challenges are, is to read your parish council minutes. They publish them on their website. If you're part of Next Door Neighbour app, you know, the local police, that they put out bulletins all the while about things that are going on. These are things that we can be praying about on behalf of our local communities. Because if we don't stand in the gap for our local community, who will? The enemy will begin to take advantage. We'll let our guard down. One Thessalonians, who's got that? Go for it, Martin.
For you are all children of the light and children of the day. Do not belong to the night or nor to the darkness. This is why we must not fall asleep as the rest do, but keep awake, wide awake, and clear headed.
Keep awake and clear-headed. We don't want to be a sleepyhead, because then we can't be watchful. We have that light within us, and we're to bring it into the darkness. Those dark corners of our communities, of our families, of our neighbours, of our colleagues. And finally, 1 Peter.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls round like a roaring lion, which is the sun of the devourer.
So if we're not on our guard, I sort of said this at the head, the enemy will look for those opportunities, will look for where our guard is down, because he is prowling around. He is wanting to devour our hearts, our minds, our time, our health. He wants to take all those blessings that God has rained down on us. He wants to steal them away. And if we don't remain watchful, if we don't remain on our guard, if we don't remain vigilant, as soon as we stop doing that, he's going to find an opportunity to exploit. So be faithful in our prayer. Pray for ourselves, our families, our friends, our communities. And give thanks to God. So the other bit in there is stand firm in faith. And this is where God drew me in, if you like. It's very easy, very easy. Especially in this new technology age. You can go on the internet. You can be bombarded by emails that you hadn't realized you'd subscribe to. And there are so many strange views out there purporting to be Christian. We have a responsibility to guard our hearts and stand firm in what we believe. We have to use that God-given discernment. When we hear or read or watch something, is this really of God? You know, just as I was walking along the beach, saw that sculpture. Is God talking to me about wanting to bring a message on fishes of men? No, that was me. William walking over the groins. Is God talking about facing obstacles with him, not being diverted? No, you know, that's the enemy trying to say, oh, you've got it, Andrew, you know it. I need to listen to God. I get it wrong so many times. I must constantly guard my heart, guard my mind, and not listen to what the enemy might be saying. But also, well, as it says there on the screen, don't question his word. Don't doubt God's word. That's where our trust should be. Must be in his word. And his word is Jesus. He is the living word. So it's a written word, and all that Jesus did and is continuing to do today. We have to stand firm on that. And that's really, really hard sometimes when people poke fun, dismiss what you believe, what you stand for. But it's really important to stand firm in the faith. We mustn't water down our faith in order to curry favor with people, to fit in with people. The things that we believe in, it's important to express them and hold them close to our hearts. I find this quite challenging at the moment. This standing against those who misrepresent God's word, Jesus. There are people in the local community who are expressing things as a Christian that I find really challenging. And it's really hard to face that, because you don't want to be falling out with brothers and sisters in Christ. Yet there's a tension between us. So that bit's not easy. It's not easy, but we have to. We are required. You know, these bits in 1 Corinthians, they're active, present tense things. This wasn't a message just for Corinth. This is a message for today and tomorrow and all our tomorrows and to all people, to be on our guard and stand firm in our faith. So, who's got that bit from 1 Corinthians 15? Beloved ones, we are his beloved ones. Stand firm. There's that call. Stand firm and secure, not wavering. Live your life. Live each moment of your life with an unshakable confidence. Not a confidence in you and your abilities, but a confidence in what you believe in. A Father God, His Son Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the written Word of God. Be unshakable in your confidence in those things. In the promises of God, the blessings of God, the protection of God. Philippians 1. Who's got that?
I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel.
Striving together. We aren't made to do this on our own. We come together. We stand firm in one spirit. Not as the Greeks and the Romans and different faiths did, in believing in a multitude of spirits. One God, one Spirit. One Jesus, one gospel. Revelation. Oh. That. Ignore that. Who's got Luke 21?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And by standing firm with patience, endurance, you will find your souls deliverance.
There's the promise. There's the promise. We stand firm. We hang in there. We hang in there, not by our own strength, but with God. We will find eternal life. Eternal life. We've heard this phrase, be courageous, so many times in the past 9 months. And while we were away last week, Dawn sent out a WhatsApp message thanking Helen for standing up and sharing what she did. You know, and I listened to Helen's brief talk that Gareth had put on the website, and for me, that, you know, spoke of being strong, the need to be strong. Quoted from various scriptures, but your act in standing up the front was being courageous. Because what does courageous mean? What are we doing if we're being noticeably courageous? Overcoming fear. Stepping outside of our comfort zone, of things that we feel comfortable with. You know, Helen, I'm sure, would much rather sit where she's sitting, taking note of what the person up at the front is saying, rather than being the person out the front. It, you know, stepping out of her comfort zone. We need to be bold. There needs to be a boldness about what we do. I said earlier, our flesh seeks the easy path, the easy option. But God is calling us, it calls us in Scripture to do a new thing. We must be prepared to do that. Because the safe and easy thing to do is just doing what we're doing now. But that's not reaching anybody new. This message is unlikely to be heard by anybody in the village. It's by me being courageous, stepping out, being bold, and talking to my neighbour, talking to somebody God brings across my pathway. There needs to be an intentionality behind it, though. We need to be saying to God, I want to talk to someone about you, about your son, about the blessings that you've brought me. Give me an opportunity. Give me the words. Because just coming to Bible study, prayer group, Sunday service is not reaching anybody. We can deliver cards through letterboxes, but that's not building a relationship with people. It's sowing the ground, if you like. But we need to be in the harvest field ourselves. Because if we are fearful, as you said, if we hesitate, if we retreat, if we deviate, then we're not being that courageous, bold person. We need to recognize our fears and say to God, help me. Because we haven't got to be courageous in our own strength. We've got to be courageous in His strength. Let's look at that a bit further. Who's got a bit of yellow? Joshua 10.
Joshua said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous.
That's one of the verses we've heard time and time again recently. It's active. It's current. It's a firm instruction to us all to not fear, to not be discouraged, but to be strong and courageous. Oh, there's a typo there. It obviously didn't like my shortened version. That should say Deuteronomy. Who's got Deuteronomy? So again, that command to be strong and courageous, to not fear. Because we can do that because God goes with us. You know, we read in Scripture that He goes before us. You know, he's already been and seen the outcome of the challenge that we're facing. He knows what the end game is, the end result. Jesus has already assured us of the victory. So in one sense, what are we being fearful of? Because God has got it under control. And He is with us. He is in us. His Holy Spirit is in us. He's around us. He's gone before us. We don't need to be fearful. And that second promise in that, not only will He be with us, He will never, ever leave us. Never, ever forsake us. So we should feel at ease in stepping forward, in being bold, in being courageous. Someone's got Psalm 27, a couple of verses. Beautiful verses. David was standing firm in his faith. And he was prepared to be courageous. He was courageous because he knew God was on his side. The Lord is my light and salvation. God, Jesus, is our Saviour, is our stronghold. You know, we spoke probably a month ago about being in the cup of God's hand, the shadow of His hand, you know, nestling, protected. We can be courageous when we know with our hearts and minds. We can be courageous when we know that. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. You know, David's there talking about war. He was in conflict, physical conflict. There were battles raging. He was being sought to be killed. We don't quite face that at this moment in time. But we face our own battles. But if God is with us, who can be against us? Isaiah 41. Who's got that? Thank you, Debbie.
I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand.
finishes again with that image of his hand and us being contained and protected by it. Don't yield to fear. Be courageous, for I am always near, because he's always with us. He's in us. So long as we don't shift our eyes and hearts to something that is clearly not of him. Start to put our faith, my faith, in my own ability, my own strength, my own talents, such as they might be, instead of looking to him. And he promises to give us his strength. That's scripture. It says, infuse us with his strength. You know, there are times where I feel completely impotent. There's nothing I can do about a situation. You know, it might be a family member who's really struggling with it. And, you know, I could throw money at it, but I can't really resolve the problem that they've got. I have to look to God. I have to bring it before God and be infused by his strength. The assurance I get from standing firm in my faith that he has this under control. Even though when I look around, the situation is completely hopeless and I am helpless. But in God, I'm not. Because his strength can infuse us, will infuse us, and help us in every situation. So not only are we called, well, we're only halfway. I can't easily finish, and I think to be continued. Yeah, I will continue it next week. You know what's coming. Be strong and do everything in love. Spend a bit of time. In those bits, prepare yourselves for next week. Spend a bit of time reflecting on what we've covered this week, because I've some questions at the very end that will tie what we've done today to next week as well. I sort of envisage this might happen. So let's stop.